So last time I ministered was May the 7th. And I was, didn't even get a third of the way through the message. But that's okay, because I've marked my spot. And I've been studying on that and been adding to it. Because it's so cool what God says. And when you get into it, and we were talking about that we had talked about our joy. And that our joy is not determined by your outside circumstances. That the joy of the Lord is in you. And in John it tells us, Jesus said that may my joy remain in you. Well, that tells us the joy is already there. Right? But it's our job every day, like this morning, I was a little sleepy. And I was like, I could have been cranky, but I was not. I got me a cup of coffee and I got my Bible and I started studying and preparing for this morning. See, it's my job to activate the joy of the Lord that remains in me. That's my job. So we started talking about some ways to activate. How do we activate the joy of the Lord? And so in Matthew, it talks about that. For by the words thou shalt be justified, so or made acquitted. And by the words thou shalt be condemned. So what comes out of your mouth obviously is real important, right? I mean, whatever you're saying is in, I don't know, cowboy terms, it's going to make or break you. I mean, that's what it is. Because what you speak will come to pass. See, back in the front of the Bible it says, God says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And he tells us what to do. Choose life. Right? Well, we do that by speaking it. What are you speaking? So I talked about that we are justified or condemned by what comes out of our mouth. And then Proverbs 21 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now, how many of you, don't raise your hand. But how many of y'all have ever opened your mouth and said something and then go, oh, yeah, several people are honest. They're like, I did. Yeah. How many of you have opened your mouth and said something and go, I wish I could take that back, but it's too late. See, that's what happened. That's what, how strong and how important what we use our mouth for can make you or break you. So that's what we were talking about. Does it make your joy fire up in the morning? Or do you get up going, nah, 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 nah. You know, I'm out of Dr. Pepper. I'm out of Honey Buns. I'm out of, it's just going to be. See, you're already speaking that bad stuff over you. So, y'all being the very intelligent people you are, is when you start out that way, how do you think the rest of your day going to go? Pretty much right on downhill, isn't it? See, because that's what you're speaking. Proverbs 13:3 says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. It's just what we were talking about. When you start speaking stuff that's not good and uplifting stuff, it'll come to pass. We've talked about this a bunch of times. You hear somebody go, boy, I'm trying to catch a cold. I'm trying to catch a cold. Well, guess what? The next day they got a cold. Why would you want to catch one anyway? I never figured that out. I'm trying to catch a cold. Why? That doesn't sound like, I'd rather catch the, I don't know, some anything like a steak or a baked potato or making y'all hungry this morning, aren't I? Yeah. But you see, what your words come out of your mouth are so important. I was listening to a podcast this week and I was talking to Alyssa, my daughter. I asked her if she listened to it. She did. And she said, I said, did you hear what they said? And she said, exactly. That pastor said, some people need to practice the spirit of shut up. You heard it too. I'm driving down the road going, oh, I got to write that down. Ain't that good? Because you know what? We're all in that boat at one time or another. And if you've been in it before and you haven't been in it in a while, you never know. So we've got to learn how to practice that spirit of just shut up. Because people start speaking. When you've had people try to speak to you and go, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea because, well, you know. And they go, no, shut up. Nicely, right? nicely. Because we try to teach grandkids that saying shut up is not a good thing, you know. But you say it respectively, shut up, you know. It's so important what comes out of your mouth. Man, are you speaking the doom and gloom? Are you speaking that, oh, no. Man, that next opportunity is right over there, and that's where I'm going. I'm speaking that, oh, no, I had a flat tire on the way to work. No. I had an opportunity to miss a wreck. Even though I had a flat tire, it's not a bad thing, y'all. God didn't cause the flat tire, of course, because God doesn't cause bad things. However, he uses that to keep you from, you may never know. But you have to learn, how do you look at it? What do you profess out of your mouth? Y'all turn to Matthew 7. I added this one. This is a new one from Matthew 7, and we're going to start in verse 7. And I love this. Everybody say amen when you get there. Amen. Oh my, if you hadn't made it yet. No oh my's, okay. That's good. So in verse 7 it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And so if you look at that in the Amplified, it says, keep on asking. So what's coming out of your mouth? Are you asking God for the things that you want to see manifest in your life? Are you asking God for prayer over whatever? Are you speaking, oh, 'tis me. My job's terrible. My kids are heathens. And my dog run off. And I mean, what are you speaking? You see, are you asking for the right things? What's your mouth saying? Listen, keep on asking. That's what it says. So some of you go, well, I asked for it and it never came. How many times did you ask? Did you ask and then set it aside and forget? Because it says here, keep on asking and it will be given you. It says, keep on seeking and you will find. See, that's what we're supposed to do with God. We talked about that a few times ago, is seek God diligently. Diligently seeking God. And diligently seeking means to crave passionately. Are you craving God passionately? See, when you're craving God passionately, you will be seeking Him diligently. Isn't that cool? Because you, man, when you learn and the more you learn, the more God blesses you and He touches you and He builds you up, you'll be going, man, I want more of this God stuff. This is good. This is their manual, y'all. We've got to learn to use our manual. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened to you. So, man, I got some papers up here. But it's fun. Welcome to Ricky's world. Yes. Yeah, you need to hear this in the Passion. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Somebody say, God's good.
God is good.
Yes, He is. Man. He's blessed us so much. I'm almost there. Sorry, y'all. Oh, let's see. 7:7. Is that where I was at? Y'all listen to this in the Passion because it is. I love it. Ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you'll discover. Knock and the door will be opened for you. I love this. For every persistent one will get what he asked for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for, or she. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Man, it says that we will have what we ask for if we seek persistently, if we ask persistently. When I was studying this one day, I was reading this. Believe it or not, it was during the rodeo. And I was in the motorhome, and it was about 11:30 at night, and I'd laid down. And God had really had been working on me about reading and writing every day. And it was 11:30 during rodeo time, and all of us that work rodeo know. And I'm laying there in bed go, oh, God, please, if you want me to read and write, you're going to have to give me something now because I got nothing. Hey, it's 11:30. You know, so I got out of bed. I went up to the front, and I got my Bible and got my journal. And God had me go to this. I know ask and it'll be given. But the Holy Spirit kept telling me, read it again. And read it again. And so I kept reading it again. And I kept going, okay, but I get it. Okay, I know to keep asking and I know to seek and I know to knock. And what are you wanting me to see out of this? And the Holy Spirit's going, Ricky, pay attention. Because that's how he talks, you know. I've told y'all, come on, focus. Well, it's 11:30 at night. Come on, Holy Spirit, you know, give me a break. But what he wanted me to see was an acronym. And I'm like, so the first thing it tells us in Matthew is ask, right? A. The next thing he tells us to do is seek. That's an S. The next thing he tells us to do is knock. That's a K. So if we learn to practice that acronym of ask, we're doing all three things. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking, and we're persistently doing that. Now, that was a cool moment for me. Y'all may not think that was as cool, but 11:30 at night when you're tired and you can't see and we've had rodeo dirt in your nose and everything else, that was a blessing that night. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all getting something out of this morning? Y'all are staring at me like I'm a calf at a new gate, but that's okay. All right, so that was my introduction. The title of this, I'm serious. The title of this sermon is called Take the Shield. Amen? Y'all ready? Y'all find Psalms. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I got plenty of time. Y'all find Psalms 119. First. But we're going to be in Psalms, so. All y'all there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Psalms 119, 105, verse 105. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. When we learn to be in the Word and we start hearing the Word, all of a sudden we start seeing things that we haven't seen. It's kind of like building a fire. When you start a fire and the more you fan the fire, what happens? The fire gets bigger. Well, when we realize that He is the lamp to our feet, and we start getting in the Word a little more, that pathway that we're supposed to be walking down is going to get brighter. Amen? That's cool. So, turn to Psalms 28. Because when you get in the Word, you start realizing that what I'm professing and confessing and comes out of my mouth activates my joy. Well, when you're starting to have trouble and you're feeling weak and down, the next part of what we have to learn to understand is that God is our shield. That's what we're going to talk about for just a little bit this morning. God's our shield. And when we understand that, it's like, man. But some of us don't grasp that, like, because it's not something we can physically carry, the Word, right? But when you're out there and you're day to day to day, you may not have this with you, but you have to understand, I still have that shield with me. It's the Word. Okay? So, y'all get ready. Get ready. So, Psalms 28. Did y'all find it? Good. I have. I'm close. Psalms 28, verse 7. It says, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I sing his praise, or as my song will I praise him. See, when we understand that when we start trusting God, then we understand that we can turn to him and he's our shield. In that time of need, that we need that shield, when something, whatever comes against us, we can call upon Jesus and he's our shield. He will protect us. I heard a story that this week that I saw, and it was just a little clip, and it's a lady that was a Christian, and she was talking about, she was in the airport. And you know, you see everything in the airport. And she said, I was standing there and I saw a guy and he had a shirt on. And it said, I hate God. And she said, the first thing I wanted to do, I was going to shoot daggers with my eyes. And she said, then I wanted to go rip that shirt off of him. But she said, then that light bulb went off, the Holy Spirit. And it said, pray for that man. When we learn that he's our shield, instead of having the reaction of, I want to rip that shirt off of that man, it is to pray. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do. I'm not even from Alabama or South Carolina. We're supposed to do. I got friends from, I'm not making fun of Alabama or anything, but when we learn that our reaction should be the right thing because he's our shield, then we know we pray for the guy. Right? We pray that, she said, I prayed that he would want to rip that shirt off of him. That God would come into his heart and change him right then. Y'all, I know there's times we all go through it when the flesh goes, I want to take them out. You know? And it's usually driving. Right? Most of the time it's driving, and I'm going to take that car out because he just pulled in front of me. Try driving a motorhome through Denver in construction in one lane traffic, and people still pull out in front of you. Bless my wife's heart. She was driving at the time. We have to understand that when we learn that our immediate response has to be, God's my shield, and this is what I'm supposed to do. Amen? Amen. Psalms 33:20 says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. That word waiteth means to trust. It means to anticipate. It means to expect. So our soul trusts for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Man, listen to that in the Passion. Psalms 33:20. The Lord alone is our radiant hope, and we trust in him with all our hearts. His wraparound presence will strengthen us. Y'all, that's that shield. So most people think that, oh, you got that shield, and because we've seen shields on TV, you know, there's the ones that have it on their arm like this, and you know, and those the older ones, they were fairly tall, and then you see some that are this tall. Well, back in those days, they said it was as wide and tall as a door. But then what we're fixing to learn is, we're going to learn more about that shield. But when we understand that that shield wraps around us, just like what it said in the Passion, man, that's a whole new ball game. A lot of y'all may know, if you saw Facebook, we had a little problem on the way to Wyoming. We left on Thursday morning, and we drove to Amarillo to spend the night. Got there just fine, got set up in the RV park. Man, had supper. It was great. Got loaded up, really an easy load up, pulled out Friday morning, 8 o'clock. Because I have a schedule when I drive usually on the road. I like certain times. I want to be here and be here. Because of traffic and everything else. Man, we're on the service road, I-40, not too far from the Dumas turnoff, and I hear a ding, and the check engine light comes on the motorhome. And I went, okay, wait a minute. We prayed, okay? We prayed. We already prayed, so, you know. Because when we pray, we know that God is our shield. He's going to shield us from whatever's going on. So Laurie and I looking at each other, and she goes, what do you want to do? I said, we're right here on I-40. There's some truck mechanic shops. Let's check them out. So we're just going, okay, Father, show us which one we need to go to. What do we need to do? So we go, and our motorhome has a Cummins diesel engine in it. Turn under the underpass, go over. First place on the right is a Cummins. So, oh, man, thank you, Lord. Yes. Pull in there, go in there. Young guys are in there, and the receptionist goes, just go right around there and talk to those young men. Excuse me, we're in the ministry. We got to be in Casper, Wyoming by Sunday morning because we got all the sound equipment and we do the music. And so, you know, could you just run diagnostics? Because, you know, y'all know, I mean, I'm such a big mechanic anyway. I've heard that if the engine light's on and it's yellow, you can keep going if it's nothing major. So I just thought, well, we'll have them check it, see what it is, and then maybe we can keep going. A couple of young guys in there, you know, and I'm like, nope, we can't look at it. I went, what? They go, I said, could you just run the diagnostic real quick and tell me if we can keep going or not? No. Well, then I'd have to pull somebody else off another job. I went, I'm sorry, I'm not asking you to fix it. I need to, it'll be middle of next week before we can get to it. I said, okay. Holy Spirit says, ask them where to go. So I said, is there any other place that you recommend? Well, you might try Premier Trucking down the road. They've got a Cummins diagnostic. I said, appreciate it. Y'all have a blessed day. Got in the motorhome, pulled down there, pulled in. Hey, it's a massive place, this Premier Trucking. Huge. We're sitting there, and the guy comes up and goes, are y'all needing to get something checked? I said, yes, sir. And I signs you couldn't follow, you know, it says truck here and this here and that. And he said, go around here and then pull around to that bay one. I said, okay, thank you. Pulled around there and I went in, talked to the service people, and they said, well, mate, let me talk to the foreman of the floor and see if he's got somebody they can pull off. We've already prayed for favor, y'all. Before we pulled into that place, before we stopped in at the Cummins place, Laurie and I prayed and we were in agreement that we needed favor, you know, because we're sowers. That's what we talked about, tithes and offerings. We give. And at times you need things given back, not necessarily monetarily, but we need favor. So in a minute, the foreman of the floor comes out and he goes, I'll do it for you. He got his computer and comes out there and goes to the back of the motorhome and opens it up. He said, I never looked at one of these kinds, but maybe we'll find. He said, there's usually one back here. He said, if not, it's under the dash. And I am not worried at all. I had the best piece, y'all, about it. And he found the real easy to get to, put it in, ran the diagnostic. We visited, just the nicest man. And he said, well, it's only throwing one code. He said, usually when you run a Cummins, they'll throw three or four. But he said, good news, it's only throwing one. He said, but let me go talk to one of my guys and see what he thinks. Because we didn't, you know, he and I were laughing because he was in his about 50. And he said, when he came up, you worked on the whole engine. He said, now everybody works on a little piece of it. You know, this guy does this and this guy does that. And he said, and they don't want to do any more than that. These young kids coming out of school, they specialize in a certain area. And so he went over there and he took that code and he said, well, it's the DEF pump. Well, for those of y'all that don't have diesels, that's something that the government requires you to have that really you don't need, but they say you do, and your engine won't run without it. It's basically how I can put it. Because they checked it, and it's only got 20, it's a 2018, it's only got 22,000 miles on it. And we bought it when it had 15,000 miles, so it's not like the engine's even broke in. So the guy goes, we'll have to order the part. But we're going to go through it. So we're going to pull it around. They pulled it around. They didn't pull it around because they didn't want to see the truck drivers to see them working on our motorhome because there was people waiting. So they put it. There's this trucking place was about 10 truck bays long. It was huge. Double-sided, okay? They put ours in the furthest one from the front door inside and shut the door. I'm like, okay. Well, so they go, you can go in the trucker lounge. Okay, the trucker lounge. My wife, my mom, my grandson, and then us. But So I was talking to the guys. I went in there. Well, they're in the front lobby. I went and asked Laura. I said, why didn't y'all go in there? And she goes, those truckers are watching something on TV none of us need to see. I said, good plan. And the people that ran the dealership, super nice. They said, y'all sit up here as long as you need to. They worked on it and worked on it, and it's about 11:30, and we rent and got some, Laurie and them went and got some snacks and came back, and I'd gone and talked to them, and they said, oh, it's not the death pump, but they're checking the wiring and everything. I said, cool. All this time, we're believing. Man, we're sitting up there having a big time. And so we had told him where we were going and what we were doing, and Mom had told him we played music, and so we end up, me and Dad get the fiddle and guitar off the motorhome, and we play and entertain the people in the front up there, you know, all the time, because we're still believing. So we have a 10-year-old that's ready to go, you know, it's 12:30. Well, they have break, lunch break from 12 to 1, and so I don't want to rush them, you know. That's the executive vice president of Premier Trucking for the region office is in there. And he gave me his personal cell number. He gave me the keys to his pickup and said, take it and go have lunch if you need to. I've never met this man before, y'all. The favor of God goes before us and opens those doors. Amen? Whew! And then about 1:30, I told Carson, I said, I'm going to go check, see? So I went back there, talked to the young man. Oh, it wasn't the wiring, it is the death pump. I said, okay, not a problem. Do we need to order? Oh, no, we already ordered it. I said, oh, good. Nobody told me, but that's all right. I'm fine. And I said, so this part will be here tomorrow, right? Well, it's kind of 50-50. I said, wait a minute. 50-50, what does that mean? I said, because I don't understand mechanical terms. And he said, well, 50-50 means that on Saturday, if it gets on the truck, it might make it. And I said, well, that's okay. I said, we have favor. And the whole time, honestly, we witnessed to these people. And some of them are Christians, and some of them we're not sure. But that's okay. Because I kept saying, we have favor with God. And I said, this is what we do, and this is what we believe. And there was a man sitting over in the office, and he goes, he works the night. That place stays open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, working on trucks. And he said, I'm the night guy, and I'll be here tomorrow. And if it comes in, I said, can you not call? I said, well, I'll pay extra just to get it here. And he goes, and so the young man that's working on it started talking to him again. Out of my ear, I hear him back on the phone. He said, I need to get this part on this truck. I just keep talking to this young man. I got off, and he goes, I found a human that actually cares. And he said, they're going to try to make sure it gets on that truck and get it here for you tomorrow. I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, okay, for us to drive it back to the, y'all go ahead. They said, they're working on a new RV park. I said, wish you could park here, but not a worry, not a problem. Went back. Went to the Big Texan, took Carson for the first time to Big Texan, had a steak. And we keep praying and keep believing. That part will be here tomorrow because we're supposed to help Pastor Corey minister on Sunday. That part will be here tomorrow. Get up in the morning, have breakfast, good breakfast, get loaded out. We head out. The light went off. Thank you, Lord. I got it. I know what I'm supposed to do. I told Laurie. I said, we go. The part doesn't come. The light's off. We're gone. We'll stay here because we know what we're supposed to do if we can get it fixed. Light's off. We go. We go, and we got some diesel, and I see a FedEx truck going in Premier. I pull in behind him, pull over here out of the way. Sat there 30 minutes. Then I go and tell the guy. I said, well, I just wanted you to know we parked out here because we don't really have anywhere to go. So when it comes in, that's where we're at. He goes, well, I hadn't heard anything yet. And I said, oh, okay, well, I saw the FedEx truck come in about 30 minutes ago. And he goes, you did? I said, yeah. And he said, okay. So as I was leaving, I heard the phone ringing in the parts department back there. So, and they had to call the young man to come in on a Saturday and fix it because he was the only one that could fix it. So I'm trying to get there, but you have to understand. He comes to the door and knocks on the door. This kid does about 30 minutes later and says, well, Mr. Bowen, the part's here, ready to put it on. I said, okay. I said, you'll pull it around? He goes, no, you can pull it around. It's Saturday. So I pulled around. I said, you want to pull it in the bay? No, you can pull it in. It's Saturday. Pulled in. Well, we had started fixing lunch. you know, to eat on the motorhome. And I said, well, we were, do you need us to get off? Because we're in the shop. And I know, he goes, it's Saturday. Thank you, Lord. God goes before us and he prepares us. He's our shield that protects us against all that junk. Now, when I asked him on Friday how long the process would take to fix this motorhome, he said, at least 2 hours. Okay. So mom had made homemade snickerdoodles. So anybody of y'all that have eaten my mom's cooking, I got some snickerdoodles and took it to him before he started and said, you might want to snack on these. Never hurts. It never, be nice and love. And so 30 minutes, he's coming back inside the motorhome to check it. 30 minutes. Didn't know if that was good or bad, but we knew what we were believing. He said, I'm all done. He said, it checks out great. I said, Laurie said, I thought you said 2 hours. And he said, it's the easiest one I've ever put on. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah. He goes before us. But get this. Now it gets better. Because I've learned that we got the motorhome so we can go like we go with Pastor Corey. And then we go on out on our own some. Is that we committed that motorhome to the Lord when we bought it. That's for his purpose, and we use it for that. But if you own a diesel motorhome, it's not for the faint of heart. Okay, I'm learning that real quick. When I found out the tires cost over $1,000 a piece the other day. That's okay. My God can provide anything. So through this whole process, I know it's going to be expensive working on a diesel engine. And I never asked once, because Laurie and I kept standing on God, you're our shield. You're our protector. You're our provider. Thank you, Lord, that that's what you do. And so I asked Caden, I said, okay, y'all told me, the guy that did it on Thursday said it was out of warranty, which I didn't know it had a warranty anyway because we bought it used. Caden kind of grinned and he goes, well, I guess y'all blessed because your warranty runs out tomorrow. Hey, you can't make this up, y'all. God goes before us to prepare a way. And when he sent us to that Cummings, I didn't get discouraged. But y'all, in our lives, as God is our shield, sometimes he has to put us over here in order to get over here. So when you wind up over here and you know, no, God, that's not where I was supposed to go. You need to listen to God when he says, no, you have to start here. And then he sends you to a place like where we went to because he's our shield. Everybody find Ephesians 6:16 real quick. Ephesians 6:16. I'm going to start closing. But it's going to be a big close. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. So if we look at that word taking, that's an action. We got to do something, right? So we have to take the shield of faith. That's our job, is to pick up that faith. And the word says that God gives us all the same measure of faith. But what are you doing with your portion? Amen? We stand on our faith just like that motorhome. I didn't have to pay anything. We got the part in. We drove all day and all night. And we got to Casper, Wyoming at 12:30 in the morning. Thank you, Lord. We had a spot to park the motorhome. We went in. We set up. We helped Pastor Corey. And 40 people were saved that morning at that church. Amen. Amen. So we took up our faith that whole time. And kept walking on that God's our provider. He's our shield. He's our protector. He's already gone before us to do something. As we went down that road, we saw just escaped me. Guardrail. That's it. That's what I was looking for. A guardrail. And that guardrail had been peeled up over half of its length long. And it looked fresh. And it was the route we're on. And Carson's up there. And you know, you try to sow into your grandkids. That's what our job is. Sow into everybody. And because through this all, we're showing Carson. Because Carson, I mean, he's a kid. And probably 10, 15 years ago, I'd have been acting like him, getting antsy. And I'm tired of sitting in this lobby. And what's going on? And Pops, go check on it. See if it's ready. Pops, go check and see if it's ready. You know? But so it's our time to sow into him. What do? When we passed that, I said, you know, we don't know Carson, but that might have happened yesterday or on Friday when we were going to leave. And we might have been right in the middle of it. We don't know that, but we know that whatever happened, we were either supposed to minister to those people or there was something going on that God used this for that we weren't involved in. Amen?
Amen.
That's our God. That's why we always take that shield of faith. And then we go, right? And it says, above all, wait, I lost my place. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. That word able means power that we have in us, that we have that dunamis power. And I closed with that last time, just that power part. But what we have to understand is back in those days when the Roman soldiers had shields, yes, I'm going somewhere with this. Those shields that they used back then were made of 6 layers of leather woven together that were strong as steel. So that, because back then they used to use fiery darts as part of their weaponry. But you have a shield of faith. But their shield, and it was so big, it was huge shield. I mean, I'd hate to be the guy who had to carry the shield. Right? I want to be flinging something instead of carrying that shield. That's a big sucker. But when you understand that those were 6 layers of leather, you think about our shield of faith our God has, it's more than 6 layers of leather. Now, here's the other thing that we have to learn to do with our shield of faith. Those Roman soldiers had a schedule, and they were in charge of taking care of that shield. They were taught and trained how to take care of that shield. So on their schedule, they had a bottle of oil, and the first thing they grabbed in the morning time was that bottle of oil to start oiling that shield. See, because if you don't keep that shield conditioned and oiled, then it cracks, it dries, and the enemy's weapons can penetrate their shield. I have a question for you this morning. Are you oiling your shield? Do you start oiling that shield every morning when you wake up? Are you putting, you know, our shield is our shield of faith. Well, how do we oil it? Well, I'm going to tell you. You get the word, right? Because we need an anointing of the Holy Spirit every morning. And so we start oiling our shield every morning when we get up. Reach for the word. Even if it's, how many of you, everybody got a cell phone, right? Right. You got the Bible on your phone or the YouVersion that has a scripture of the day. Get it. And when you, and be honest, there's probably quite a few that don't. But how many of you keep your phone right close to your nightstand on your bed? Yeah, it's okay. Don't be proud. I'm not convicting anybody for it. I do. Because it's my alarm clock. Don't you use it for that? And we don't have a home phone, so keep it there. Grab it and flip over that and read that verse first thing before you get out of bed. Start oiling your shield every morning, and it's going to get you fired up. And then when you come across things, just like what we went through, we already know we're protected. That shield of faith goes all the way around us and protects us.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Corey and I got to talk because during this whole time, We were talking back and forth because you got to have plans if you don't have a sound system to preach over or do mute. And because he was talking about how he had a deal, he could do music probably, and he might have to use a sound system in the bar, in the arena where we were at. And so we're talking, and I'm thinking, okay, those relationships we've made up there, there's a coach that is no longer a coach, and he works at the American Quarter Horse Association in Amarillo. When I posted that picture about us broke down in Amarillo, he sent me a message. He said, Ricky, I'm in Amarillo now. If you need anything, call me. I'm like thinking, okay, we could borrow a truck and a trailer. And you wait on the Lord. You trust in the Lord. But he also didn't tell us to check our brains at the door. We start praying. And when you pray, he's going to give you these things of, okay, I can do this. I can do this. Revelation knowledge, y'all. I can do this. I can do this. So after we got there, and after the service, when 40 people were saved, Corey and I got to visit, and he goes, that's why the devil didn't want y'all here and me here. Come to find out, he had trouble on the airplane. They couldn't get the count right. They left the deal. Then they made them pull back in. Then they pulled back out. They counted again. Well, our matching numbers don't. He almost missed the meeting where he promotes the church service for the next day. So Corey and I were talking, and he goes, that's why the devil tried so hard to keep y'all and me from getting here. Because 40 people gave their life to the Lord. Amen? That's why we as collectively need to be bold and understand that our faith is our shield. And wherever we go, we carry it, and it surrounds us and protects us. Y'all, get in. Start oiling your shield. Man, I encourage you to. And I'm not telling y'all anything that I haven't done. Years ago, I didn't pick up that word and read it. I believed, but I didn't read the word. I do now, and I know how it works. I just gave y'all a testimony. I just gave y'all a testimony over here. Amen. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to say, this is what God's done for me, and he'll do it for you. Because he's a no respecter of persons. Amen. Have y'all gotten anything this morning? Have you had a good time? Amen. Man, our God is so good. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we would never do a service without giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. And Father, right now we just come to you, and I lift everyone up this morning. And if there's somebody here that hasn't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity right now. We're not going to make you do anything funny or silly or come to the front like some churches. No, we're going to do it right where you're sitting, and we're going to ask the believers to say it with us. But out of your mouth, we're going to say a prayer. Now, more than ever, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, it's time. It's that time. So out of your mouth, we're going to say this prayer. Believers, you go here, you know what we do. We're going to say it out loud with them. Get this prayer because it's time. The field is ripe, y'all. The field is ripe. So out of your mouth, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believers, say it with us. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. Father, I thank you for Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on that cross and he rose from the dead. And Father, I thank you for my shield of faith in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if you just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all I'm going to ask you to do is on the count of three, I want you to stick your hand up. We're going to hand you a Bible, and then we're going to have you just stick your hand right back down. But never be afraid to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is now your Lord and Savior. On the count of three, one, two, three. Anybody here, get your hand up. Be bold. Anybody? All right, y'all look at me. So, we know everybody's saved here. So, as Pastor Corey says, it's our job to go out and start bringing more people to church. Y'all, it's our job now to start getting people saved up because it's time. I mean, it's y'all know it's a crazy world out there. I mean, We see things and y'all see things and we saw lots of things. And so, but it's all good, you know? So thank y'all. It's an honor to be back and to get to minister to y'all. And I'm going to have Miss Sharon come up and close for me. Y'all give Miss Sharon a big round of applause. Oh, you already have one. Look at you.